that, and I would wholeheartedly encourage you to do that. And every session was an encouragement and a help to me, and so again, so thankful for that. I did not get to hear Brother Brian Cardwell's session, so I'm looking forward, and I understand it was great. Other than the part that he threw me under the bus, that's the only the only thing. But I'm looking forward to hearing that and looking that up. And so, anyway, we're so thankful. And, you know, it went so well. I think probably, you know, more than likely. It was our first annual, so I've got a feeling there's going to be a second. And so, anyway, help us pray. Help us pray about that. And, again, pray for the ladies. They're down in a special Sunday school class today. Mrs. Toole is speaking down there this morning. And again, any of our ladies that are coming in, if you'd like to go down there, we'll keep the golf cart shuttle running for just a little bit. And you're welcome to join them if you want. You're welcome to stay in this class as well. And so that'll be just fine. So there's one thing that we need to do before we get started today. And I know we don't have the ladies up here, but I know that our ladies would be, they would be all in favor of this. And so just the way things worked out yesterday, we had our Multiply conference yesterday, and at the same time, they were having a fundraiser for Brother Todd. Brother Todd Elmore usually sits right back over here on this side. Most of you know that for the last couple of years or so, Brother Todd has been in a really, really bad way. And Todd's not here, is he? And so I can speak openly. I wouldn't want to embarrass him for anything in the world. Todd's a man's man. I mean, he's a go-getter and a hard worker. And Todd has made a huge investment in this church in a lot of ways, by the way. And, you know, back when we started clearing the land for the building, that memory, by the way, popped up. We were on our way to church this morning, and Miss Tammy said, "Look what just popped up." And it was the memory of our groundbreaking service where we had our deacons and some of our trustees out here with their construction hats on and their shovels. And today is the anniversary of our groundbreaking service where we broke ground. And, of course, this was just a field, and we still had trees, and all that was still here. And anyway, long story short, Todd has a grading company, and Todd's company came here and started grading the land for us and started clearing the land. Well, months and months later, he reached out to me once we had the building, we had the shell up. We weren't in here, but we had the shell up. Didn't even have the doors on here yet, I don't think. And Brother Todd reached out, and he said, "Is there any way I could meet with you?" And I said, "Yeah." And so he came up here to the church, and he said, "I can't explain this." He said, "But I've been up here working." And he said, "Man, we've been moving earth and dirt and working." And he said, "Man, every day I come up here," and he said, "it's like the Lord says, this is where you need to be. This is where you need to be. This is where you need to be." And he said, I've fought it and fought it and fought it. And so anyway, long story short, Todd and Tammy and their family ended up here. Well, right about that time, Todd started having some really, really bad issues, and he has a leak in his spinal column, and his brain fluid, basically his brain fluid, leaks out, and so your brain is in a cushion in your skull. And that cushion is provided by that brain fluid. And because of that, when you're walking or when you fall or something like that, your brain is cushioned from that fall. Todd has a situation where his brain fluid leaks out, and his brain is not cushioned quite as much like our brain is. And so on top of that, and he's had multiple procedures, and then recently, most of you know, he and Tammy flew out to Los Angeles. They had a Sinai hospital out there in Los Angeles. They focus on that. That's not the word, but they focus on that. And so they spent a couple weeks out there, and he underwent some pretty serious treatments and helped a little bit. So then they came to find out just here recently that on top of everything else, he has Lyme's disease. And so, man, it's just been, you know, it's just been one thing after another. So Brother Todd, recently they found a doctor in D.C. that specializes in that. And he told Todd, he said, your leaks are not going to get, they're not going to heal until you get the Lyme's disease taken care of. And he said, because what Lyme's disease does is it weakens the blood vessels and it causes the blood vessels to leak. And he said, so you're not really going to get that taken care of until you get this healed. So, again, I didn't mean to be so lengthy with this explanation, but a lot of you pray for Todd, and you've been asking about Todd, and this is a good opportunity for me to fill you in. And none of this is confidential, by the way. And so, so here recently, in the last few weeks, they put a port in, and so Todd's taking treatments, almost like a chemotherapy patient would take to try to get that Lyme's disease under control. And so about every 8 weeks or so, he'll have to, and he takes the treatments here, but about every 8 weeks, he'll have to travel up to D.C., and he and Tammy have to follow up with the surgeon up there. Well, you got to thank the Lord for insurance nowadays. And I'm being sarcastic when I say that. And so a few weeks ago, Brother J.R. Spies, and pray for them because the EMS was there last night, and Brother J.R. just about went into a diabetic coma last night. And so Brother J.R. was supposed to be in a rehab after that stroke, but insurance denied that. Well, insurance denied Brother Todd as well. And insurance said that we don't believe there is any such thing as Lyme's disease. Yeah, I know. That's what I said, too. I thought, I've heard of Lyme's disease ever since I was a boy, I've heard of Lyme's disease. But anyway, insurance company said, no, we don't believe in that. We don't cover that. And so so basically what they're doing with Todd right now is $70,000. And so Todd and Tammy are paying that out of pocket. And so anyway, they had a fundraiser yesterday. And I know it went the long way around to explain all that to you, but I felt like it was good for you to know what's going on. And so they had a fundraiser yesterday for Todd, and we had our Multiply conference going on at the exact same time. And so because of that, we were not able to be a part of the fundraiser. And so you know, several of our folks have already come to me, and I think it's great. It's a great idea. And so I know, beyond a doubt, I think we have about $5,000 just in our class fund, and so I know we don't pass the offering plate like we used to in our class, but some folks still designate toward the class, and so if you want to do that, you're welcome to do that. You can just specify that on your offering envelope, but I think we have $4,000 or $5,000 in there without a doubt, and so what we've suggested this morning is that we take $2,000 at least, $2,000, and give that toward the Elmores and try to help them get this, you know, this $70,000, you know, try to get this thing at least under control. And so is everybody in the class, everybody good with that? Yeah? All right. And so that's what we'll do then. We'll take $2,000 and we'll donate that toward the Elmores, and then if the church wants to do more than that, that's fine with me too. Just come and come see me or come see one of our deacons and just let us know. And the Lord's just, I tell you what, the Lord has just blessed this church amazingly, and the more we do, the more He does. That's the truth. The more we do, the more He does, and it's just like we just can't. We can't outgive the Lord. Todd and Tammy are faithful members of our church. And Todd was very, very faithful to the church before all this happened. And you'll still see him sitting here at Sunday school. And sometimes by the time Sunday school is done, he's done for. And he can't, he can't be in the next service. But anyway, so pray for him. He still has his business. His boys are pretty much running that for him. He's not able to do it anymore. But he's just he'll try to go out and sort of visit the jobs and things like that as much as he can. But Todd's a good guy, and Tammy's a wonderful lady, and they're faithful. And then pray for their family, because on top of all of that, you know, on top of all what I just told you, of course, they have a daughter named Kayla. And Kayla and Cody are just wonderful people. Just a wonderful young couple. Love the Lord, man. I mean, just love the Lord. And they recently diagnosed him with a brain tumor in the back of his brain. And so, anyway, they're and he's doing well. He's doing really, really well. So just pray for their family right now. And so anyway, we're going to teach just for a few minutes today. It's good to have Brother Toole in our class today. Brother Randy, good to see you today. And he's going to be preaching for us here in just a few minutes. And now I told Miss Tammy, I said, listen, you have till 10:30. All right, 10:30, and you end that thing. All right, so. Anyway, we gave them down the road just a little bit yesterday, because their session went past the session, almost past the coffee break, but she said, honey, it got so sweet down there. And so anyway, we're thankful for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. How many have a special prayer request? You'd signify that by an uplifted hand. Yes. Your uncle passed away. Yeah. And so pray for Will's family. They're going to lay his uncle to rest today. And so remember their family, if you will. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we love you, and thank you so much for the privilege to be back in church again today. God, thank you for giving us a mountaintop day yesterday. Lord, we appreciate your spirit, your sweet presence. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God that was shared with us yesterday. And Lord, every session was incredibly helpful and edifying, and God, we just thank you and praise you for that. Thanks for giving us a wonderful, wonderful day. Great crowds, Lord, yesterday. And Lord, it was just so good to see the house of God filled up on a Saturday, and wonderful fellowship. God, the music was just wonderful. And we're just so grateful, God, for your blessings. Father, we do pray for Brother Todd and Miss Tammy. And Lord, you know that they are really, really going through a serious valley right now. And we pray for them, Lord, that you would bless them. And Father, we're praying and we're believing, God, for a 100% healing in Todd's life. I believe you're going to do that. Too many people praying, and I'm just trusting by faith that you're going to do that, and that Todd's going to have a great testimony to share with people. And so, Lord, do a great work in his body and his life. I pray for his healing. We pray for their son-in-law, Cody. God, that you'd touch him, and Lord, that you'd heal him completely of this brain tumor, and bless Kayla and their family. Lord, I pray that you'd bless Will's family in the loss of his uncle, and I pray, God, that you would give grace and salvation to this family. And Lord, bless in the split session today, as the ladies are being ministered to today down at the Speece Life Center. I pray that you'd bless Mrs. Toole and help her. And then, Lord, in just a few minutes, Lord, as we'll have our 11 o'clock service, God, I pray that you would bless Brother Toole. And God, we're so thankful for God, for how you used him yesterday. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would anoint him. And God, help him as he preaches thy word in just a little while. And Lord, by the end of this day, I pray that we'll be so thankful that we came to the house of God. And so, Lord, bless our discussion this morning. Bless every hand that was raised. I pray you'd work in those requests of prayer. And we pray that throughout this day that the Lord Jesus would be lifted up and glorified in a wonderful, wonderful way. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse number 1. We began this subject last week, and we'll see about possibly finishing it today. But last Sunday, we started talking a little bit about what we call the hidden man. Look, if you will, at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, Notice the next two verses. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be, and here's the thought, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And I want to focus in on that little phrase there, the hidden man of the heart. Now, I'll take just a moment and review just a little bit, and then we'll get into some brand new content today. But we said that phrase, hidden man, is used only one time in your Bible, and we read it today, and that's in 1 Peter chapter 3, hidden man. But the concept is taught all throughout the Word of God, even in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. And so we also mentioned that in verse 3, that the world literally lives in verse 3. That's where they live. Verse 3 says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. And how many know that the world is just consumed with the outer man? They're consumed with the outward appearance. We didn't bring this out last week, but I did want to pay tribute to it today. You know, one of the major problems with the Pharisees back in Jesus' time is that they were very, very concerned about the outward. Unfortunately, they never took the time to take care of the inward man. And Jesus talked about that in Matthew 23 and 27. The Lord Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are likened unto whited sepulchres," excuse me, "which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." And that's where the world lives, man. They're all about the outer. They're always about the outward man. And we said several things last week. Number one, we mentioned this to you, the hidden man should be given priority, not the outward man. Now, are we against you taking care of yourself? No, we represent Jesus, and so we ought to take care of ourselves. We ought to take care of the outward man. We ought to fix ourselves up and look like somebody because we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We also ought to take care of our physical bodies. And we said last week the reason that we ought to do this is because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we took a little while to teach on that. So we're definitely not preaching or teaching against exercise and health and things like that. In fact, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." And that profiteth little, but it does profit. And so is it good for you to walk? Yeah. Is it good for you to get on the treadmill? Absolutely. Is it good for you to ride a bike occasionally? You should. You have to be careful. Sometimes you have to turn down that second donut. I mean, you have to do that because we're to care for this. We're to care for this outward man. But the inner man is the one that ought to have the priority. We're to give that inward man priority. He is the important part about you. Also, this is where we left off last Sunday. We said the hidden man is in plain view of God. Now, if you're still in 1 Peter chapter 3, look what he says in verse 4, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." We drew out to you last week, you don't have to turn there, but we had you turn to 1 Samuel 16:7, where the Bible says, "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And so that hidden man is in plain view of the Lord. And we have to be so careful about that. You know, we can hide that inner man. We can hide that from everybody else. We can hide it from our spouse. We can hide it from the church. We can hide it from others around us. But boy, how many know this, that God sees that hidden man. He sees that inner man. In fact, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, this morning and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and find your way to verse number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 5. And look what our Bible says about this hidden man. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 5. The Bible says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. God sees the heart. That's what the Bible's saying there. And God is able to bring those things out. He knows. Listen, God knows what's in our inner man. God sees the heart. An old story that I tell occasionally, it's just a sort of a cute little story, but it has a great application to it. There was a story of a grandma who had a prize-winning goose. And she had a couple of the grandkids over, and they were playing, you know, at grandpa and grandma's. And the little boy had a slingshot. And years ago, well, we used to walk around with a pocket full of rocks and a slingshot. And we used to love a slingshot. And anyway, he had a slingshot, pocket full of rocks, and he was just going around. Man, he was just shooting everything with that slingshot. And you know how little boys are. He shot the tree, and, you know, he shot the creek, and he shot the burn barrel, and, I mean, he was just shooting all kind of things. And all of a sudden, that prize-winning goose walked out and started squawking at him. And he took a rock, and he put a rock in that slingshot, and he thought he'd have a little fun. He just pulled back, and he was going to shoot that goose. He wasn't going to hurt it. He's just going to hurt it a little bit. And so he put that rock in the slingshot. Man, he reared that thing back, and he shot. He let that rock go. And man, that rock hit that goose square in the head. And that goose fell over dead. I mean, like a hammer fell over dead. And he thought, what am I going to do? He said, Grandma's going to kill me. I mean, she's going to kill me. And so there was a wood pile right there. And so he dug out some of the rock, some of the logs. And he took that prize-winning goose, and he hid that goose in that log pile, and he took the logs and he covered that goose up, and he thought, you know what, Grandma will never find that, and he said, I'm going to be okay. And he turned around, and Sissy was right behind him, his little sister. She was right behind him, and he said, you better not tell. And she said, I won't tell Grandma, but you're going to do everything I tell you to do. And so next little bit, you know, so they were, they got done with the dinner, you know, dinner dishes. And Grandma said to the granddaughter, she said, now you come on in here with Grandma. We're going to wash the dishes up. And she said, Grandma, she said, brother wants to help you with the dishes. And he's like, no, I, and she looked at him, and he said, oh, yes, ma'am, I want to help you with the dishes. And so he went there and helped Grandma with the dishes. And the next day she said, I want you to make my bed. And he said, I'm not making your bed up. She said, I want you to make my bed up. If you don't make my bed up, I'm going to tell Grandma. And so he made her bed up. And I mean, for the next little while, I mean, man, she just ordered him around like a slave. And I mean, he just did this and that. And he just, I mean, he finally got all he could take and couldn't take it anymore. And so finally he came to Grandma and he said, Grandma, he said, I've got a confession to make. Little tears streaming down his cheeks. And he said, I'm sorry to tell you this. And he said, I'm sorry I tried to hide it from you. He said, Mama, he said, I killed your prize-winning goose. And she said, I know. And he said, what? And she said, I know. She said, I was standing in the kitchen that day, and I was looking out the window. She said, I saw you take your slingshot and put a rock in your slingshot. I saw you shoot it and kill it. I saw you hide it in the wood pile. I knew it. And she said, I was just waiting on you to finally come and confess it and get it right. Now, wait a minute now. You know what? Little brother could have saved himself a lot of heartache. He could have saved himself a lot of trial, a lot of trial and tribulation if he would have just gotten right with Grandma and confessed it up. It's why we ought to confess our sins. Somebody said confession is you and I being honest about what God already knows.
The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And sometimes this is the question that I get, preacher. If God knows everything, and he does, God's an omnipotent God, and if God knows everything, why should I confess my sins? If God already knows about my sins, why should I confess my sins? And here's the answer to that question, because God wants us to be honest about it. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn back to the book of Genesis, if you will. Genesis chapter number 3. And when I was thinking about this subject, it seemed like this is the Holy Spirit laid this verse on my mind. Why does God want us to confess our sins when he already knows about our sins? And the answer is because God just wants us to come out and be honest with him. Genesis chapter 3, interesting passage. Genesis 3, look at verse number 8. Now, you know the story very well. This is where Adam and Eve, and they have, partaken of the forbidden fruit. And, boy, they've been plunged into sin now. And the Bible says that the Lord comes into the garden, and, boy, they've realized their sin. Well, look at it. Genesis 3, verse 8. And they, Adam and Eve, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, in this sad, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. And you know what, class? That's what sin will make you do. It'll make you hide yourself from the Lord. Man, you can have that sweet relationship, that sweet fellowship with the Lord. And you let sin come in, and boy, before you know it, it just hinders and takes away the sweetness and the joy. And the Bible says, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Wow, look at verse 9, though. The Bible says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, so here I have a question for you. Did God not know where they were? Well, the answer to that question is God knew exactly where they were. There's nothing God doesn't know. And so God knew. I mean, God knew exactly where they were. He knew they were hiding. He knew they had realized their sin. He knew that they had, you know, sewed fig leaves together, a feeble attempt at trying to cover up their, you know, their mess. And yet the Lord says, Adam, where are you, Adam? Was that because God didn't know where they were? No. God knew exactly where they were. The reason that God asked that was because God wanted Adam to be honest. Adam, I know where you are, but you need to recognize where you are. That's the problem, isn't it? God knows where we are. Sometimes we don't recognize where we are. And he said, Adam, I want you to be honest. Proverbs 15:3, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Again, I just want to draw this out real quickly. So confession is us being honest with the Lord. And what confession of sin does, confession restores, listen to this, because I believe this is important for us to understand this. Confession of sin does not restore the relationship. Confession of sin restores the fellowship. So I think we do need to be clear on that. So we don't confess our sin so we can be a child of God again. We don't confess our sin so we can be saved again. Once a child, always a child. We confess our sin so that fellowship can be restored. And so we have three children, three grown children, and let's say that and Samuel's sitting right back here. Let's say that Samuel does something, and you know, when he was young, Samuel does something, and he did, and I did too. Samuel does something against mom and dad, or breaks a rule, or gets demerits, or whatever the case may be, and you know, I'm thankful that, you know, the way our kids were raised and the way they grew up, I could usually tell when something right wasn't right. I could pick them up from school, and we'd get down the road a few miles, and I'd say, all right, what is it? Nothing, Dad. I said, you might as well go ahead and tell me now what it. And all of a sudden they pull out this pink slip, you know, and it had demerits on it. Now, wait a minute now. You know, the truth of the matter is, your kids, my kids can sin. They're still your kid. Nothing's going to change that. They're still your child. You know why? Because they were born into your family. Listen, Samuel was born into our family, so there's nothing that he can do that will make him ever cease to be one of our children. Now, we can say that. We can say, you know what? You're no longer my child. We can say that till the cows come home. But, church, nothing's going to change that. He's our kid. Always going to be our kid. Nothing's going to change that. And so, truth of the matter is, that relationship cannot be broken, but that fellowship can be. And so if there's a child and they do something and they're not willing to get it right, they're not willing to confess it, they're not willing to come clean, they're not willing to be honest, the relationship is not broken, but the fellowship sure is. And the same is true with you and I with the Lord. You know what? We sin against God. The relationship is not broken. Thank God for that. Thank God that when we sin, we still have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. But if we don't confess that sin to God, although He already knows. He already knows. But if we don't confess that sin to the Lord and come clean and get honest, it hinders the fellowship, the sweet, sweet fellowship that we have with the Lord of Lords. And so we see the hidden man should be given priority. We see the hidden man is in plain view of God. But look at this. And man, this is so important. Verse point three, the hidden man predetermines the issues of life. And so look, if you will, at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 in your Bibles. And look at verse number 23 this morning. Listen, if this lesson has an important point, this is the important point right here. Proverbs chapter 4, and look if you will at verse number 23. The Bible says, keep. Now that's an important word right there, keep. And in the Hebrew, that word keep there is a word that means guard, it means blockade. Some of you guys remember that were in the military, you remember what it was to walk guard. Keep thy heart. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about that inner man. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Look what he says here. For out of it, out of the heart, out of the hidden man, out of the inner man, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence. Walk guard around your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. I love this verse. I love this proverb right here. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the, notice the next word, issues. For out of your heart are the issues of life. It's the Hebrew word tasa'ah. And this is what it means. It means exit. Outgoing. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the exits of life, the outgoing of life. You know what the Bible's teaching us there? Man, this is crucial. The hidden man's going to determine how you leave this life. The hidden man's going to determine how you exit this world. That's what it means, exit. It's going to determine whether you exit this life with a good name or a bad name, a good reputation or a ruined reputation, a fulfilling marriage or a marriage that's falling apart, a home that's strong or a home that's weak. That's what the Bible's saying there. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Guard your heart. Guard your hidden man. Guard your inner man. Why? Because out of it's going to determine how you exit this life. The issues of life. We know, because the Lord Jesus tells us this, that the heart is what it's all about. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And look at verse number 34. Matthew 12. And verse 34. And look what the Lord Jesus challenges us concerning the heart here. Matthew 12, verse 34, he says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Verse 34, for out of the abundance of the what? The heart, the mouth speaketh.
A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And so the heart, the hidden man, that's where these things come from. You know, we're seeing so much stuff today. You just turn on the news just for a few seconds and you just see stuff. It's mind blowing, isn't it? Israel has released some of the unedited videos of what took place, you know, a few weeks ago. I haven't watched it. I don't want to watch it, to be honest with you. But they say it's completely unedited. And they talked about it this week. They talked about those when those Hamas members walked into those into those places. They begin to whack off arms of little infants and chop their heads off. And they didn't just chop their heads off, but they said that they literally, in front of the cameras, that they gloated. That they were smiling from ear to ear as they whacked off their heads and whacked off their, they literally cut off extremities. Didn't kill them all the way, but just cut off extremities of those little babies and just let them lay there and suffer. And they just rejoiced. Y'all know what that's about? That's a heart issue. You say, preacher, this is political. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. It's far deeper than that. Far deeper than political. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. When you can, you know, I'm thankful for those that are aboard, you know, and anti-Hamas, because they're killing infants in Israel. But what about all those doctors every week that are aborting thousands and thousands of these infants? And what about these politicians who say, let's pass legislation? We have politicians right now on Capitol Hill that are saying, let's pass legislation so we can abort babies right up to the very end. I mean, right before they're getting ready to be birthed. Let's pass legislation where it's not against the law to kill that baby. And I tell you what, since we're doing that, why don't we just go ahead and pass legislation that says, let's just give up to 14 to 20 days after they're born, and we can kill them then too. Don't try to come to me and tell me that's a Democrat or Republican. That's not a Democrat or Republican issue. That's a heart issue. That's a heart issue. You know what that means, brother? There is darkness of the heart. That's exactly what's going on. That's exactly what Jesus said, man. Listen, out of the heart, these kind of wicked things come. I did not know this. Somebody said the average cost of a heart transplant. Have y'all ever heard this? The average cost of a heart transplant, including the immunosuppressant drugs, after the surgery, $864,700. But when I read that, I thought, man, we have a spiritual heart. And when you got born again, you had a spiritual heart transplant. Listen to Ezekiel 36:26. Listen to what God said. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I'll give you a heart that's pliable, a heart that's open, a heart that's willing to submit to the Holy Spirit. And oh, listen, if we would protect this heart, how much more we ought to protect the hidden man. Amen? I hope that made sense today. We're going to be dismissed, and we're going to have a little time of fellowship. Right now, we have some coffee in the bookstore out here. We have some lemonade out front or orange juice. And so take advantage of that and just fellowship a little while. And we're going to welcome all of our visitors in today. Again, it's great to have the tools with us. And you be praying for Brother Tool. He'll be bringing the message here in just a little while. It's going to be a very, very special morning. And so we're looking forward to all the Lord is going to do. Let's go to the Lord, and we'll let you be dismissed today. Father, we thank you for your blessings. And Lord, what a privilege to be back in the house of God today. Lord, it's been a
wonderful, powerful weekend, and we're so thankful for your blessings. Father, I pray you'll bless our fellowship right now. And then, Lord, I pray that you'll bless every song that's about to be sung. I pray you'll help the congregation as they sing. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the choir today. I pray that you'd bless the special music, the instrumentalist. And then, Lord, I pray that you would touch Brother Toole. And God, I pray that you would give him unction and Holy Spirit power as he delivers the word of God. And I pray, Lord, that it'll make a difference in our lives. So, Lord, bless our fellowship now. May we be strengthened from other believers. And I pray that Christ will be lifted up and glorified through all that's done. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. We love you guys. Good to see you today. You're dismissed. We'll see you back in just a little bit.